Time to talk sports as we say hello to Michigan radio sports commentator John Eubacon. And John, let's just get into it and start with Michigan's 24-17 loss to Notre Dame. Were the Irish that good or the Wolverines that bad?
No and no. The Irish were good to very good, but they were not phenomenal. And Michigan, despite the score, despite the feeling of the game, was not at all disastrous. Look at the total yardage. Michigan had 307 yards to Notre Dame's 302. They actually outgained them, not counting the 99-yard kick return, which is, you know, tack that on. So, as a rule, when you win a game, everyone talks about everything you did right. When you lose a game, everyone talks about everything you did wrong, and the margin is not that much. However, it feels, I'm sure, much worse for Michigan fans for the simple reason that they fell behind 14-0, Cindy, in the first 7 minutes. That's 1/8 of a game.
Right out of the game.
And they never seem like they're that determined to come back. So it was, I'm sure, a very hard game for Michigan fans to watch.
So what do you think were Michigan's big mistakes against Notre Dame? And did Coach Harbaugh and his staff do enough to prepare the team for the Irish, in your view?
Well, when you are down 14-0 in the first 7 minutes, you can't argue that they were as prepared as Notre Dame was. And now there's some lucky plays in there, as always, and some flukes and whatnot. And Michigan was very aggressive, which is a good thing. But 14-0 is 14-0. You cannot fall behind like that on the road against a good opponent at night. The home team, by the way, in night games in this series is 8-0. That's not an accident. You and I discussed on this very station last week, Michigan's defense had to give Michigan's offense one quarter to settle in. In other words, 0-0 at the end of the first quarter, Michigan would have been fine. And the exact opposite happened. So that's where the wheels came off.
So how would you grade Shea Patterson with his Michigan debut?
Pretty well, actually. His numbers were good. He was 20 for 30, one interception, no touchdowns. His quarterback rating, for what that's worth, is around 125, which is quite high, actually. Pretty reasonable. And it's his first start for Michigan. And the offensive line did not give him a lot of help. He had very little time back there. He often had to scamper to avoid getting sacked. So I'd give him a solid B+.
So I'm hearing you say things need fixing both in the offense and the defense. So break it down. What did you see that needs to be fixed first in the offense?
Offense, offensive line, which is just what people thought going into the season. The feeling was in the press conferences and amongst the players and whatnot that the O-line would be a whole lot better this year. Didn't look like it on Saturday night. So that's the big thing on offense.
And defense?
Defense. First 7 minutes. After that, look, they
got it together.
Second half, they gave up 3 points. So they gave the offense the entire second half to catch up, and they didn't do it.
It's got to be really a coaching challenge when you suffer a big, when you get your nose bloodied in the very first game of the season. It's got to be understandable that everybody's just feeling down, unhappy. How do you fire them up and go, all right, we've got to look ahead. We've got, you know, we're doing this again next weekend.
Harbaugh's very good at firing guys up, okay. And so is Don Brown, his defensive coach, and others. So I'm confident they'll be ready for Saturday's game. But this is a malaise that goes back a decade now, a little more, in fact. Go back to Appalachian State in 07, and there's been a few up years in there, but the 10-year sense of Michigan football is not what it used to be. Has gripped this fan base, and right or wrong, that's what you're dealing with. Now, the fans aren't important for a coach in terms of it's whatever is in your room. You know, your players and coaches are all that really matter. So if they're still believing, and I'm sure they are, you're probably going to be okay. But it is no joy in Mudville for this Michigan fan base. And again, it's kind of like being a Red Sox fan in 2000. You've not won the World Series since 1918. It's not the current team's fault, but you've been unhappy for 82 years.
Yeah, and you stop and I pulled a few statistics. I see Michigan has 17 straight road losses against ranked teams, and in their last 18 games under Jim Harbaugh, they're 9-9. So, fan base, are the voices of the critics getting louder, and should they get louder?
Well, first of all, you know my caveat on this one. Mm-hmm. Some Michigan fans, not all certainly, but some Michigan fans are not happy unless they're not happy.
Right.
And Saturday night gave them a whole lot of reason to be unhappy. The stat you cite, by the way, that Michigan has lost 17 straight road games against ranked teams, mm-hmm. puts them on a short list with programs like Kansas and Vanderbilt, the worst of their league. Mm. So that's not exactly a list that Michigan wants to be on. So that's where things are now.
Former Wolverine receiver Braylon Edwards got himself suspended by the Big Ten Network for blowing off steam on Twitter about Michigan's performance, profane, complaining. Words of advice for sports figure before they hop onto Twitter?
Don't.
Don't.
How many lives have been improved by Twitter and how many careers have been crashed? I can't recall too many careers made by Twitter. So, and look, he said later on, the problems with his tweet are several. Look, he's a Michigan, you know, star, obviously, from about 10 years ago or so, 15. He's got the right to vent himself and so on. However, he called out players by name and called them names. That's, no sports journalist does that to college players. They're not paid. They're 20 years old. You got to lay off those guys. Second of all, it's profane. Third problem is he's under contract with the Big Ten Network and doing a very good job, but you signed a contract with stipulations about social media conduct and you violated those rules. So it's not, don't get me started, it's not free speech, people. The government, that's free speech. Your employer, you can't tell your boss to go to hell and expect to work on Monday.
Over to Michigan State, wasn't that season opener against Utah State supposed to be easy breezy, not a white-knuckle ride for Spartan fans?
That is exactly right, but first games are first games. And you saw Penn State barely beat Appalachian State in overtime. Nobody should ever schedule those guys again. Are you listening out there, people? It's twice now. Bo Schembechler always said that you never improve more than you do from your first game to your second game every season. Live ammo is what it feels like, of course, and then you're into the, not to trivialize that, but then you're into the second game. All teams will be substantially better this weekend, so nothing for Michigan State to worry about yet.
Okay, and how did Brian Lewerke do against the Aggies?
His usual solid performance. Yeah. Hey, the guy tagged him with 38 points. That's not the problem.
So they've got experience. They've got talent. What'd you see as the big blunders?
First game, jitters. Defense looks surprisingly shaky, and that's not a Michigan State hallmark. D'Antonio, the head coach there, Mark D'Antonio, has done traditionally a very good job on defense. Look, they're going to settle down. Spartan fans, rest easy.
And so what are you going to watch for when the Spartans head west to play Arizona State?
A good game. Arizona State's got a new coach in Herm Edwards. They look pretty good in their opener. It's hard to win on the road in college football. So it'll be a challenge, but I suspect Michigan State will go back to form and win.
And then circling back to the Wolverines, Western Michigan's coming to the Big House this Saturday.
Don't want to be the Broncos.
They're going to be mad.
Oh, yeah.
Michigan Radio Sports Commentator, John Eubank. And thanks, John.
Thank you.